You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 4, Episode 16. Well, hey, friends, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm so thankful you're here, and guess what? It is episode 16, which means it's the last episode of season 4. We are closing out the spring and summer session here, but do not worry. We're going to take just a 2-week break and be back September 13th for season 5. I've already got several folks lined up for season 5, and I'm so excited to bring those to you starting then. If you caught the episode back in May, I believe I talked about that I actually am running a pilot group of a new online ministry I'm starting called Abiding Ministries. And we're actually finishing up reading the Bible in 90 days together this week. And then in the coming weeks, I'm finishing up writing a devotional on John 15. So we're filming some of those videos for that in the next 2 weeks. So that's really where my concentration is going to be. So let's get to this finale, though, of season 4. Y'all, I know I say this a lot, but this really is one of my favorite episodes. Today, I have Tani Cullen. She's a blogger and conference speaker who also worked as a ministry director at a multi-campus church. Tani and her husband, Joe, created an award-winning documentary called Surprised by Autism. Tani most currently is a co-author with Cheryl Ricker of the new book called Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. The book documents such an incredibly miraculous story about her son Josiah, and I don't want to give it away because she shares the story in this episode, but it really blew me away. In fact, it's just so incredible that I really had to even just grow my faith just to believe that it's real. And trust me, I have done a lot of praying over this, and I just come to the conclusion that just God is in this, and I am just so honored I have this opportunity to share Tani and Josiah's story. So let's go ahead and get to it. Here's my conversation with Tani. Well, hey, Tani, and welcome to Feathers tonight.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. I would love for you to introduce yourself and talk about your family and all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, my name is Tani Cullen, and right now I'm really a stay-at-home mom most of the time. I have a little son whose name is Josiah. He'll be 11 in a couple of months, and I'm a blogger, I'm a people lover, I'm a conference speaker, and currently a co-author. I have written a book called Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice, and the co-author that I've written this with is Cheryl Ricker. So that's launching us into a whole new direction we're very excited about. I have a husband whose name is Joe, and we've been married for almost 18 years. We live in the Twin Cities. I have a past in ministry. I worked at a large church in the Twin Cities for about 13 years. But for the last 3 years, God has really had me kind of in a cocoon time, and we're just starting to poke out the wings and see where he's going to take us in this next season.
Oh, I love that reference to wings with feathers.
There you go.
That's so awesome. Well, yeah, I am so excited to talk to you and share this amazing story that you've written about in Josiah's Fire. It really is quite miraculous what you share. So just to maybe give a high level of what we're going to talk about,
sure.
then let's go back kind of to the beginning of where all of this started.
Absolutely. So basically what the book is about is our journey into autism. Josiah was born in October of 2005. He was a healthy little baby boy. And aside from being a late walker, everything about his first year and a half or so of life was typical. It was on track. And we really had absolutely no reason for alarm. But very rapidly, around 22 months or so, he began to regress. He lost eye contact, speech, and then his play skills. And that, of course, was very devastating for us. He's our only child, and we didn't know what was going on. And so we very quickly started going to every kind of doctor, every kind of therapist to figure out what was happening to him. And at age 2, he was finally then diagnosed with what's called autism spectrum disorder. And autism spectrum disorder, autism itself is, at the time that Josiah was diagnosed, it was one in 150 kids. Today, it's one in 50 kids. It's the leading developmental disorder for children right now. And what's quite troubling is that there is no known cause. There's no known cure. And they say it is lifelong. Josiah is on the more severe end of the spectrum, meaning that for him, he's one of the 40% of people that remain nonverbal, but by the grace of God. And so that's really the journey that we ended up in, and it was quite surprising for us. You certainly bring a child into the world and you're so happy that he's healthy and it just looks like life is going to be going one direction. And then all of the ideas and hopes and dreams get spun completely around, and it's really devastating. It's very difficult because of the nature of it, where there's not a lot of medical assistance to really help bring a child out of it. We really had to throw ourselves into a ton of research for therapies, biomedical type treatment. We absolutely just researched everything we could find. It was a very difficult time. It continues to be difficult because you don't really know where to turn. It's a language that you don't really understand. And certainly we've been so thankful for all of the people that have come into our lives that have helped us, therapists, teachers, psychologists, all of those kind of things. But really, you can feel like someone has told you, you need to put on the gas pedal as far as you can possibly go, but then they throw on the emergency brake. It feels like you're getting nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. So for several years, we just tried absolutely everything that we knew to do that would be hopefully helpful. With that, it burns through a lot of your resources, your emotional resources, your physical resources, your resources with your marriage, and the hope that God is still good and that you will have good in the land of the living.
Is that something that you really struggled with and really, you know, kind of asked God?
I sure did. I mean, as you can imagine, I really actually identified quite a lot with the Hannahs of the Bible and the Jairuses of the Bible, the parents that would go before God and Jesus and just cry out with a very deep, deep ache to say, my child, surely you see my child, please come and touch this child. And certainly I, as a Christ follower, the question that gnawed at me more than anything was, you're telling me that we are entering into an impossible situation. So where is hope when there is no hope? How am I supposed to navigate that? When the doctors say, this is the diagnosis, this is what you can expect, how do I look at my child in a way that says, God has said that he has good plans for you, plans to give you hope and a future? So I really did have to wrestle with that quite a lot. I had to wrestle with the question, is God good? And I'm really glad I started asking questions in a way that I brought out my journal one day and I wrote down 10 questions for God. And I said to him in my journal, I want you to show me these answers in your word. I don't care what my pastor says. I don't care what my mom says. I don't care what my friends say. I want to hear from you. I need to know what your word says, because the promises that he has in his word are so audacious that it absolutely caused me to ask, do I really believe this is true? Or is it just a nice piece of comfort material when I'm needing to be encouraged? And that was, certainly something that spun me actually into a much more intimate relationship with God, while realizing I had a lot of wounds myself to be healed from as I was seeking healing for my own son.
So we know, or I know from the story, that Josiah had quite a turning point. So is that something that you kind of dealt with and wrestled with before this, or is this something that you continued even through that?
Sure. So really when it came to Josiah, you know, we had many years in there, like I said, where we really were seeking out as much as we possibly could from a natural perspective. And we had him in therapy 40 hours a week. We had him on special diets, and we went to hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and we did absolutely everything you can think of to try to get speech, especially speech. And he did have words before autism, and then he steadily lost his words entirely. So you can imagine going from having a little toddler who really is expressing himself and has a personality and is crying out, mama, dad, the banana, you know, Buzz, and he's doing all of these things and you're getting to know him, to feeling like your child has been snatched away from you and you don't even know him. You love him. You absolutely try to engage and play with him as much as possible, but you want to connect at a very deep level. And I feel that autism really puts up a lot of walls to that. And you have to almost press in so hard for to stay connected. And I remember many, many nights just rocking my son and holding him in my arms and singing every song I could remember, even back when I was a kid in church, you know, old choruses that, you know, from the 80s that we would sing over and over again. Those would come to mind, and I would just sing over him, and I would pray over him, and I would just speak life over him. And that journey really, I started engaging with two at a point where I realized all of the things that I am trying to make work aren't working. And God, I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your kindness. And I need your supernatural intervention in our lives. I cannot do this without you. And so I remembered that even though it seemed that people thought that God healed and would pray for healing, it's almost like you never saw it. You never really experienced it. And I remembered as a kid watching some television shows that my mom had kind of had a little bit of a spiritual awakening. And I remember seeing them talking about people actually getting healed. And I would open up the Bible and I would read all of the places then where Jesus was healing people. And I really had to ask, is this still for today? Is this still for us? Because Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget even one of his benefits. And one of his benefits is he heals our diseases, everyone. And I really looked at that and I lifted up those scriptures and I prayed those scriptures and I started learning more about even healing and the covenant that God has with us as his children. And I really started loving God in a way that I hadn't fully loved him before. At the same time, a lot of the perfectionism that I had built into me, I didn't even realize I had the thoughts that, you know, if I can just work hard enough and do things right enough, then it will go well for us. We will make good decisions. We will do the right things. And then all of these things will go well for us. And really standing there going, there are some things in this life I do not have control over, no matter how hard I work, no matter how hard I try, no matter how many formulas I try to force, there are things I just don't have control over. So God, help me to rest in this place of pressing into you. It sounds a little bit of a dichotomy, but how do I rest in trusting you as I eagerly anticipate and wait for you to work and intervene? So that really brings us to a place where certainly my faith had grown and expanded, and God was teaching me how to pray differently, how to listen for him. And my ministry was expanding, and I began to, even at church and stuff, get more involved on the front lines of ministry. And I just saw God work in such amazing ways. And I just, my heart grew so much to press into God. Well, one day I ended up being invited over to a couple of other ladies' homes that both of their children also had autism. I knew them from Josiah's Therapy Center. They had watched a documentary that had been on HBO called A Mother's Courage. And as we were watching this documentary, there was a child that really looked a lot like my son. And this woman was from New Zealand, and she had come to America to see if there was any way that they could help her son. And what were the autism treatments? Well, there was one particular method that this person was showing on this video. And I said, I have to do that with Josiah. This particular method was something that they were helping nonverbal students be able to learn to point at letters and spell. And where people thought that they had the mind of a toddler, what they were seeing is that they were in there and they were smart and they were capable. And it just brought new hope to me. So I went on a mission to figure out how can I learn this method. We were able to find somebody who did the method about 4.5 hours away from where we live. So we went there and it was amazing. It was for the first time I got such immediate hope in something that we were investing into where this person was teaching him and he was choosing between a wrong answer and a right answer, and he was choosing a right answer. And then she was teaching him at age level, and she was telling me things about how to approach him and how to talk with him and how to engage with him in a way that was just normal conversation, as if he was 6 years old at the time. And it absolutely excited me, and I saw a side of my son that caused me to come home and want to try to help him with this particular method.
So how long did that take before you saw a response out of that?
Yeah, it was very difficult because he doesn't like to sit still. So we would do these 25-minute sessions, and I would spend most of the time just bringing him back to the chair, quite honestly, as he would try to escape all the time. But I just kept doing it, trying to do it faithfully. He started, you know, I would teach him, I was thinking, I'm teaching him, I'm reading to him, I'm teaching him how to spell, you know, it's going to take a ton of time, but this is where we're going. About a year later, we're able to do a refresher course with this particular person that taught us the method in the first place. And at the refresher course, he surprised us by spelling his first ever word that he offered up, not one that was just spelling something that was already given to him. He spelled brown, as she said, what color would you like the car to be? He pointed on stencils to letters and he spelled B-R-O-W-N, and we rejoiced. Yeah. Because he was offering up his own opinion on something the first time he had ever done that. Fast forward about a month, I came home with a renewed energy to keep working with him. Fast forward a month, and we're sitting at the table one night, and I get out two books, and sorry that this is kind of crass, but I said, Josiah, what book do you want to read from? Do you want to read from the Everybody Poops book? Or do you want to read from the Children's Bible? Choose, you know?
I love that.
And I know, you know, you make it as much of an opposite as possible so that you get a very strong choice. So he chose the Children's Bible. So I said, okay, let's read about how Jesus healed the blind man. So I'm reading him the story and I stop and I say, Josiah, Jesus healed the blind man. What did Jesus do? Did he H-E-A-L heal the blind man, or P-L-A-Y, play with the blind man? You write that on a sheet of paper, rip it in half, and then hit the table, heal or play, choose. He chooses heal appropriately. I said, okay, let's spell heal. Well, we had some stencils, and we also had the iPad that had kind of a keyboard up with big buttons all in alphabetical order. And I said, well, let's try here on the iPad. And I said, let's spell heal. So he goes and instead of hitting H, he hits G. And I was like, oh, he's missing it. And then he hits O. I was like, go, okay. And then he continues to spell out his first ever independent sentence. I didn't give him the sentence. He types in front of my eyes, God is a good gift giver.
Oh, wow.
And I honestly had this moment where I felt like I was on Candid Camera or something. Did that just happen? It was incredible. And I went back and I like, Josiah, yes, God is a good gift giver, but how do you know that? Because it's not like I've ever said that phrase to him in that way or heard that phrase necessarily said in that way. I was like, and how do you know that? And then he types, God is everlasting Jehovah.
Oh my gosh.
Impossible. I don't speak like that. Plus, how can he spell perfectly Jehovah?
Everlasting. Those are not easy words.
Exactly. So this started open communication for us, and it absolutely changed our lives. And that was the first moment that I knew something supernatural had happened.
Right. So, I mean, at that moment, you have to think, like, where did he get those words? Like, is he watching TV? Is somebody talking to them? How do you come to the conclusion that it's just a supernatural thing versus
right
where he's getting this from
well,
in the world?
Well, first of all, I knew all the things that he was exposed to the life and in life. And I knew that at that point, especially, he wasn't watching movies. He wasn't a TV guy. He definitely wasn't being exposed to deep theological things. I mean, if anything, we certainly were reading him child level things and that sort of thing. But it's not like we sit around the table talking about God being everlasting Jehovah or anything right. like that. So he continues on. Later on, I'm like, obviously, I'm starting to ask him all sorts of questions, and I'm having to steady his arm, but he's moving his hand across the iPad, and there's a very I want that to be clear that he points one letter at a time. It's not like sitting down and typing fully, so it's kind of an awkward process in a way, but later on he. Then I said, what is going on? And he types, God is very capable. Well, at that point I'm like, God is doing something. Is he healing him? I mean, what is happening right here? Is this the hour that we have been praying for? And did something happen? Certainly something extremely unexpected, but has something happened? And he goes on to type, AU, and I'm thinking he's going to type autism or what is he typing? He types AUNTIE, auntie, told an angel to tell me.
Oh my goodness.
That was shocking for many reasons. First of all, auntie, he has never met auntie. I never talk about auntie, but auntie was my great aunt who lived with us when I was a child. She died when I was 15 years old. And we don't talk about auntie. We don't sit around and, share about auntie or anything. So he didn't know auntie.
And he said it like it was a name.
And auntie. He types it like, auntie.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. Plus, the issue of auntie told an angel to tell me that
right.
that theologically did not make sense to me.
Yeah. How does that happen?
How does that work? How can that happen? And are you telling me an angel actually came and something happened? It was very confusing. I was extremely discombobulated by the whole thing, quite honestly. And it only got stranger from there. He
right.
started so over time. Over time, he was typing things that there was no way he could know. There were things I didn't know. There were deep theological things, and he was bringing up things that caused me to have to actually go on and Google about to find more out about them because they were just where
the
were they coming from.
Well, one of the things that I absolutely love is that he references scripture. I mean, some of the things that he says, it's like, go back to Joshua and find this out because, you know, Jesus told me or whatever.
Yeah, he actually, even though he doesn't open up a book, he actually will often know where things are, or he'll know stories in the Bible that I've never taught him about, even obscure names or people. It's a trip, quite honestly.
My goodness. So he begins to, so it starts out with this one sentence, and then on his own, he continually becomes more, more able to communicate in longer sentences and paragraphs, right?
Exactly. So, you know, at first it's funny because he's trying to describe things that he doesn't fully have the words for. Mm-hmm. So I don't always know what he's talking about, but as time goes on, he continues to get more mature in being able to describe things that he's seeing. So I come to realize he's either seeing or hearing or dreaming something where he is having access to the spiritual world. I don't at that point really know how that could be. I don't understand exactly how that is happening, especially for me as a mom. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to ask questions. I'm trying to, and at the same time, we're trying to just learn about our child. So he doesn't only write things about that are spiritual in nature. He's writing about things too, just about normal everyday life as well, by the way. But I'm having to research online because he hasn't had a near-death experience. He hasn't, you know, people who see or hear these things, as far as I knew, something had to have happened to them.
He talks a lot about how things work in heaven. He talks about angels. He talks about how the Trinity works.
Right.
And so, yeah, you do hear these in children who may have had a near-death experience or something, or maybe somebody with just a great imagination.
Yes.
But no, you're saying he hasn't had that type of thing. And yet I think somewhere he says he considers them visions and dreams.
Yeah. He basically will say that there are visions in the day that he can see or hear. There are dreams in the night. There's really a lot of different ways that he sees or hears or engages with heavenly things. And for me, what I started having to do was just ask more questions because, see, I knew that this couldn't be his imagination because children with autism really don't lie or they don't spin stories.
Right.
They're very straightforward. Right. And so one day I had this thought and I said, Josiah, what if I give you the first line of a song? Could you please finish this? And I said, it goes like this. My favorite place in heaven is. And so I waited for him to respond just to see what he might say. And if you don't mind, I'll read that short
response
that he had. This is what he wrote. My favorite place in heaven is over peaceful waters. Peace is real. Tired souls naturally test peace. Roses are so stunning. Worship the king. Sing loud to the prize pardon who requires praise. Angels taste of his holiness, ordained great attitude of praise. Help us worship the Lord together, please him. All you hail the King of Majesty forever, make a noise to the King on the throne. 7 years old when he wrote that.
Oh my goodness.
And when he wrote that, that solidified for me, he is seeing something. Who could come up with that?
Right.
He is experiencing something. That's what I
can't get over with his writing, just how poetic.
That's really his niche is he started coming out with not only informative things, but very poetic wisdom words, almost psalm-like words, often proverbs-like words. Mm-hmm. And poetry, that still is his favorite way to express himself.
Yeah. And I like to, and I say prophetic because he from the things that I've read, seems to at times kind of correct. And one of the things that I love that he talked about, he talks a lot about joy, like yes. how we're missing joy and how we're missing laughter. He on page 127, I love this one phrase. He says, "Don't pout, just praise Mom."
Yes. Yes, he taught me so much and continues to teach me so much about joy, about love, about faith, about awe and wonder. And these are things that I realize that I only have in my life scratched the surface on, even in a yes. long, long relationship with God. I, through my son's eyes, I have come to see just how good and wonderful and joyful and happy and delightful God is, and the language of heaven. Really, this book, if I had to boil it down to one thing, certainly it's this journey and it's this faith journey, and there are amazing things that happen. But at the same time, the most amazing thing I think is there's kind of this behind the veil look at the language of heaven mm-hmm. that supersedes kind of all of our dogma and all of our religious frosting. And it just kind of is so pure and I guess so true. So a lot about his writing, what I've come to find and other people have said as well, it's not cliche. He doesn't write in ways that are really that typical that you would ever hear certain phrases said this way. And yet what happens is that they really ring true.
Right. I think that's what I felt. It's like I mentioned before, I love that in a lot of places he references scriptures. When he talked about praise, and he's talking about, I'll just read because I'm looking at it. It says, "Benjamin's little tribe entered the first gate by looking to praise for his joy. It is in Judges. Ask me a question. Faith yeah. is fun. Best decision Benjamin makes is to fear God much more than man." And it talks about how you went back to Judges 5
yes.
And read there Deborah's song.
Yes, absolutely. And that, if I could only tell you how many times that has happened, that certainly never made it into the book and continues to happen. It absolutely shocks me every time.
And what, and even the places I find that he's not, you know, referencing scripture, it seems to, because I will be honest, I read it with a healthy dose of skepticism, right?
Oh, sure.
You read something like, oh gosh, is this really truth? Is this really lining up?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, you're just reading it with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yes.
But what I found is that everything that he said seemed to just further explain the truth that was in scripture.
Yeah.
Even if he's not necessarily, you know, quoting scripture or whatever, I love the way he talks about the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, let's see, that the Father is the manager, the Son is the lover of operations, and the Holy Spirit is worker. And how true
right.
that is. And I've never seen those words in scripture, and
yeah.
yet they do describe their functions.
Right. Well, and I think that is, for me, I love the Bible, and the Bible is the inspired word of God. And so I am always wanting to make sure that anything that I hear from anybody, does mm-hmm. it line up with the word of God? Does it line up with the standard of the word of God? And, you know, certainly as Josiah was navigating into these certain things, what I really was seeing was the character and nature of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the nature of how the spirit world works was actually making far more sense to me than with the goggles that I had on before.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually did bring alive a lot of the things that are said in the Bible. And it causes you to go, is God today the same God of the Bible? Is he the God of the Bible? And does he act in ways that are weird and kind of crazy and way out of my box? Does he still do this kind of stuff? And And have we maybe boxed him in quite a lot by not looking for it, not being aware of it, not listening for it? And really, I really do think that people, you're probably going to be skeptical. And I understand that. And really, for me, even as this is happening before my eyes and continues to happen, it's difficult for me to wrap my own head around it. But really, what I have asked myself, and what I ask everybody to do who does decide to read this book, is to ask, how is this happening? Could it be coming from Josiah's own mind? Is it from God's kingdom? Or could it be from the kingdom of darkness? Is Josiah somehow subconsciously picking up something from me that I'm completely unaware of? I mean, these are the kind of questions that I think people should ask and wade into with discernment. Because for me, after deep personal reflection and discernment, I have to say that what Josiah has brought forward sure looks a lot like the God of the Bible to me. And that there's a supernatural thrust and source that is happening. And then I would say, what is the fruit? What has the fruit been in my life, in his life? And with Josiah, you brought up the prophetic edge. That was not something I really understood or knew about today, certainly you read about the prophets in the Bible and that sort of thing, but Josiah started to talk about people's lives that he didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then he was typing particular names, specifics about their lives. And it was a word from the Lord for these people. And it was like God was reaching out to them through this child. And I had to be the very tentative person to deliver this information, going, oh my goodness, what if this is totally off? They're going to think I'm a cuckoo, I'm a very stable person in real life. I am a very, stable person. I have great love for wisdom and emotional intelligence and all of those things. So this kind of thing, really, I have had to face so many fears. And even opening up our lives and this experience in a book, believe me, it's a very vulnerable place to be. And I would not do it at all if I didn't know that God was in it, and that I've had to say yes if I'm authentic in my love relationship to God, to just bring forward what it is that he's sharing with us, because I believe that it has to go beyond our home.
Right. So what are your hopes with sharing these stories and this wisdom and these words from Josiah?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing that is my desire is people need hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that this day and age, there are many things that we will just take and accept. We'll take and accept a doctor's diagnosis. We'll accept our lot in life. We'll kind of accept every little thing that would really hamper our design, our destiny, our calling, and kind of accept that, like, well, now my Christian duty then is to just kind of learn how to grit my teeth and be comfortable with that and ask God for a little joy along the way and help me to, just be content with my lot in life. And I actually don't think that that is all that God has for us. I think that what this story does is that it inspires hope in people, not only for their children, no matter what disability, disorder, wall, challenge they may have, God has good plans for their lives. Also for us as adults, Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom like children, unless you receive and look at me like children do, you will not be able to have the kingdom. And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Well, I think what it means is are we able to joyfully orient ourselves toward God as children and say, Papa, I want your love. I want your peace. I want your righteousness. I want your joy in the Holy Spirit. I want your kingdom. That means that no matter what circumstance is before me in my life today, no matter what sickness I'm facing, no matter what financial issue I'm facing, no matter what relational problem I'm facing, no matter what is it going on in my life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, that I can look to you as a good God who is the giver of every perfect gift. And not only can I give my love and praise and adoration to you, but I can receive back from you what you want to give. And much of that too is having a heart and a mind, I think, toward restoration. God's word talks so much about restoration. You know, we may face many things in our life where we feel that we have lost so much. I know with Josiah, I mean, autism, it feels like we've lost a lot of his childhood. We've lost a lot of opportunities. We've lost a lot of dreams or joy or just what we thought life was going to be. We've lost a lot of money. We've lost, you know, there's just a lot of loss. Everybody has some pocket of brokenness or loss. And I think what I would hope is that through this story, people can see what it looks like to bring all of that back before the Father, lift it up to Him, maybe many, many times, and just say, Father, restore, restore. And as you restore my life, and as you restore my family, and as you restore my child's life, restore to me the joy of my salvation, and renew my spirit, and renew my attitude to be able to walk through this life with that kind of lift that you have said you will give to us. And that is an element of faith that is not just, you know, say this, claim that, think this, believe this way. It is such a higher way of going, God, I just so trust you that you are good. I just so trust you that what we are going through today, that you are going to bring out life from it, and that you are for me and you're not against me. There was a particular quote that I read one day that really resonated with me by Krista Black Gifford, I believe her name is. And she says, if you are not anchored to the goodness of God, you will lower your theology to match your pain. Mm. And this, to me, is a story of a lot of pain, a lot of fear. There's sadness in there. And what I see and what I'm experiencing in my own life and in my son's life, as we're walking this out and seeing God really invest in us and invest in him and being aware of this happening before our eyes, is even if the circumstances don't change in the way that we thought that they should, and even if there are still all of these obstacles, it's like we have what we need inside to just keep moving and keep pressing in, because we know that God is involved and that he does hear us, that he does see us, and he actually does want to intersect into our lives, and it causes us to want to be a blessing to other people. So that's really my heart with this. And for Josiah, you know, we had started a Josiah's Fire Facebook page that he actually asked for to share some of these things. This is a boy who doesn't have a lot of ways to express himself in typical ways. And sharing these quotes and sharing his thoughts, this gives him purpose. This gives him life and this gives him joy and not a closed off life. So we just feel compelled to share these things with others and to not boast in anything but how good our God is.
Yes. Well, I am so glad that you have. I so enjoy the Facebook page and this book. I mean, I have it underlined. I keep returning to it. I feel like there's just so much to learn. I just want to just sit and just tell me all the things you know. And I hope everybody picks up a copy of this book to truly, I mean, we have just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a list of like probably 10 other things we could talk about.
it's actually not a difficult read, but it's very dense. There's a lot in there. So it is definitely something where you kind of want to return back and go, whoa, what lesson is God trying to share with me there? I really think that it will compel people to do a lot of self-reflection. And I do love that there are discussion questions in the back of the book that help for journal opportunities or book clubs or small group opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can absolutely see going chapter, because each chapter sort of it's more telling the story of how you got there the first couple chapters, and then it's really sharing by topic, I think,
yes,
things that he has shared. So I can definitely see going chapter by chapter and discussing the things that he shared. I hope this has whet some people's appetite for the things that he has shared, because, excuse me, they are so good.
Thank you.
And yeah, so if people want to pick up the book and they want to find you guys on Facebook, where do they do those things at?
So he has a public Facebook page. I actually load up what he writes on the iPad. What's nice about what he writes, honestly, I have every word that he's ever written because it's able to be saved on an iPad. So you get word for word what he types. And so I pick out little quotes and things like that, or sometimes he actually says, post this or quote me. And so you can find that on Josiah's Fire. It's a public page. And the book is on sale at Amazon.com and ChristianBook.com. And I believe it's going to be in Barnes & Nobles and some Walmarts and things like that. So it will be available out there. September 1st is the release date.
Okay, well, I'm so excited for you guys and just to see where this goes. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to write the book. I know that was a labor of love, and just to continue to share that on Facebook, it's really been a blessing to me.
Thank you, and I so appreciate you having me on.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and I hope, if anything, you were just intrigued about the book and go pick it up to see everything that Josiah shares. It's truly incredible how God is using him to speak to others. As I've been processing this the past several months, actually, this verse from Acts 2:17 came to mind, and it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And guys, I really believe we are there in the last days, and that Josiah is a part of God calling people to himself to ready his bride. This is an invitation to take a closer look at Josiah's words, but more importantly, behind that, look at God's words to see what he has to say. And I think what you'll find is that he loves you and desires the same intimate relationship and wants to show you amazing and glorious things too. And I am just so inspired by this. My faith is lifted up, and it's given me such joy to be able to talk to Tani and hopefully share their message far and wide. So guys, please head over to the show notes over at featherspodcast.com, and you can find the link to the book. You can pre-order it now, and it will be out next week on September 1st. And you can be one of the first to read this amazing story. As we close out another season, I just want to give so much thanks and glory to God for the honor to host this podcast. Meeting you guys here each week has been one of the highlights of my life and continues to encourage and inspire me. And it's my true desire that it does the same thing for you. So guys, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next season on Feathers.